All right, if you would take your Bibles, turn to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. We're going to take a hiatus from Luke this week and focus on mom just a little bit. Proverbs 31. When you get there, you can go to verse 10. If you're using that Pew Bible there, it's on page 762 in your Pew Bible. Proverbs 31. I have a picture of my mother in my office. I look at it about every day, but come Mother's Day time, I always bring it out and around. It's sitting on my desk today. And as I prayed with the guys this morning, I've showed it to them. As people have been in my office, I have shown it to them. You see, my mother, her name was Carol. She died in 1997. And so she's been with the Lord now for 27 years. I think a number of years I may have shared some things about her with you, but just to share a few things, she was not an excellent cook, but she made the best steak and gravy that I've ever had. She also made the best oatmeal raisin cookies. She had to have her coffee in the morning. She was not a morning person, and I was the oldest child, and so it was my responsibility in a single parent home to make sure that the parent got up. And I did that by getting up earlier than she did because I was a morning person. I would make her coffee and then I would go into her room and I would give her her coffee, and she and her coffee cup would just sort of have a huddle for seemed like 20, 30 minutes until she decided that this day could begin, and then it would begin. And so that was good. She loved to hunt. Believe it or not, you're going, Jeff, your mom was a hunter. She was. She became a hunter after I had already not become a hunter. But she became a hunter. She would hunt bear, follow that season around, and she would use a gun for that. And then she would hunt deer, and she was a bow person when it came to deer. And then she would also follow fishing season all around the country. She loved going to the beach, and she spent many hours on the beach walking and collecting shark's teeth. I was her firstborn. I was her only son, and I am her favorite child. You can just ask my two sisters. She did believe in spanking, and I gave her lots of practice. Her grandchildren, while they were young before she passed, called her Gran. She loved Jesus. Her faith was simple, but very real and very personal. She taught me many things. Love and sacrifice are the two hallmarks that I carry with her through my life. I have her Bible. It's in my office. I sort of collect the Bibles of my family heritage. And I was looking through her Bible this week. She used the Living Bible. And she did not mark in it very much, but I went through her Bible and just flipping through it, and I saw a few things that she did mark, and I said, well, that must have been important to her, because if you're not a marker in your Bible and then you mark in your Bible, that means something challenged you in that moment. So in Matthew 23:11, it says, to be the greatest, you need to be a servant. My mom taught me to serve. Matthew 23 is also where Jesus challenges the hypocrites, and my mom taught me to be sincere. In John chapter 8, she had underlined, the truth will set you free. So I've always been truthful. John 14, she underlined, ask anything in my name. You see, she wanted me to seek God diligently and pray specifically before him. Romans chapter 4, about the forgiveness of sins, how we can have joy because through Jesus we can be forgiven. In Romans chapter 6, about the eternal gift of life we can have in Jesus. In Romans chapter 12, we are to present ourselves a sacrifice before God, pleasing to him. My mom loved me, and I'm thankful to God for her. She did many heroic things in her life to care for me. And while it may not make the paper, and while it may go unnoticed most of the time, godly mothers, many, many, many in this room, do heroic, Christ-centered things every single day. So I ask you to stand with me. We're going to read from the book of Proverbs 31. I'm going to read an extended passage that we'll pick up in verse 10, and we're going to read through the end of the chapter. Proverbs 31, picking up in verse 10, says this, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. She will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion of her portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates." Thank you. You may be seated. Keep your scripture open. Before we even talk about these verses we just read, we must recognize who is speaking. And I did not read this, but if you were to look back in verse 1 of Proverbs chapter 31, these are the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. That's what Scripture says. So these words that we just read from Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31, actually all of Proverbs 31, they were from a godly mother to her son. Proverbs 31 is God's revelation of a virtuous woman. Now, virtuous means conforming to a moral or ethical principle, to be excellent, to live upright. Virtuous is the progression from knowing what is right to doing what is right. Virtuous is intentional. Someone who knows that their lives are to be a reflection of God. And I think that understanding who wrote this, who it was from, and what it was for gives us great understanding when we walk into these verses that talk about some specifics. Secondly, we need to understand before we dive into these verses that in the original language, these verses were written with each verse using one of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet in order. This allowed, back in that day and time, for the reader of God's Word to also become the learner of God's Word. You see, this aided these letters in the alphabet. This aided in the memorizing of this important passage on being a virtuous woman. This was like a guide to finding the correct godly woman to marry. Moms and dads, you're going to want your sons to memorize this scripture so that they can see and choose their correct woman. Moms and dads, you're going to want your daughters to memorize this scripture so that they know the characteristics that God desires to see in and through their lives. So I'd like to run through for just the next few minutes, because in verse 10, a virtuous woman must be hard to find. Her value is extremely high. Now, I understand supply and demand. I'm an accountant by nature. I understand economics and prices, and you know, where there's plenty of demand and very little supply, prices go up, and all of a sudden, where there's plenty of supply but not much need, prices go down. And just a pure economics lesson of Proverbs 31 says that a virtuous woman must be a rare thing because her value, her price, is really, really high. So I want to talk for the next few minutes about 10 things that this passage tells us about a virtuous woman. Now, I say 10 things at my risk because just listen for a minute, and I want to see if we can do this as a church family. Many times, I don't tell you how many points I'm coming after because what's getting ready to happen if we're not careful is as soon as I complete 9 and go to 10, you know what's going to happen? Everybody's going to start closing up. Oh, Jeff's getting ready to get done. We're going to put it. And the 10th point, you're going to totally miss it. So everybody listen together. When I transition from point 9 into point 10, everybody just cast an ear to see if the room begins to shut down. I want to encourage you. Your neighbors are watching you now. Don't shut down. Stay with me all the way through because God has something for us even in point number 10. Number one, a virtuous woman has a strong sense of character. A strong sense of character. If you were to go back and we look at verses 10 through 12, it says she is trustworthy, she is faithful, she is helpful, and she is consistent. So a virtuous woman has a strong sense of character. Number two, and you're going, Jeff, you didn't spend very long on that. Some of you just did the math, and you go, we're going to be out of here in about 17 minutes. And we just might, because if I get out under a certain time, these guys back here in the nursery, they're going to give me all kinds of attaboys. Okay? But number two, not only is a virtuous woman have a strong sense of character, number two, we read in Psalm 31 that a virtuous woman works hard. If you were to go back and we could review verses 13 to 22, you would see that she works hard for her husband. She works hard for her household. She works hard for others. She works hard for the poor, and she works hard for herself. If you go back and look at all that, you'll see that she is always working hard. Now, I mentioned to you that I was raised by a single mom, and I'll just go ahead and tell you, and I've shared this before, I love dry cereal. The reason I love dry cereal is because growing up, my mom would work. She would do everything to keep food on the table. And we'd buy milk every week. But there were four of us, and that milk would disappear. And we weren't getting more milk until we got more payday. So we had plenty of cereal. Do you know cereal and milk, they're never equivalent. They're like hot dogs, right? Packs of 10 hot dogs, packs of 8 buns. You know, you never can get them all figured out. Well, we'd always have dry cereal, and so for mornings, for breakfast, I just put dry cereal in a bag, in a little Ziploc baggie, and ate dry cereal for breakfast. I love dry cereal today. And I look back on those moments, it's because we did, but I was on my mom working hard. Christmas would come, and if you're in a tight family financially, and Christmas is coming, and you have a mom who will sacrifice and give and work hard. She took a second job at night, at home, in our garage, painting things for like these concrete, you know, back in the day, I don't think they exist anymore, but you could go back on a country road and you can find a place that would sell concrete things. Bird baths, picnic tables, statues, you know what I'm talking about, all these concrete things. And they were all decorated and pretty. It's possible if you were in East Tennessee or North Carolina during those times, my mom may have painted some of those things because she got paid to take a job at night at home, and she would be working it long after we had gone to bed. And her sole purpose was called Christmas. Sacrifice. But in this example, she worked hard. You can go back and read verses 13 to 22 and seek that out. Note the words when you do in verses 13 to 22. She seeks, works, brings, rises, provides, strengthens, plants, girds, and her lamp does not go out at night. Number three, a virtuous woman is generous. Look at verse 20. She reaches out to the poor. She goes to find ways to help. She puts herself in a position to find needs and then seeks to meet them. That is generous. Proverbs 19:17 says, "He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he was given." And you're going, "Jeff, how could she be generous, but she had to work so hard in order for you guys just to have?" I'm going, "I don't know, but that's God's currency, that you can work hard, provide, and still keep your eyes on helping people out." That's a virtuous woman. Number four, a virtuous woman is supportive. Look at verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates because of her. She makes him better. Now, to many in this world, maybe to many in this room, I am known as Angela Rasnick's husband. That's a compliment. I'm okay being known because of my wife. Wise is the husband who recognizes his wife's strengths and lets her compensate for his weaknesses. Now, in my family, I asked my dad, if my dad had to choose between his son and his daughter-in-law, I think they'd choose her. Again, compliment, choosing well, God being good. So a virtuous woman has a strong sense of character. A virtuous woman works hard. A virtuous woman is generous. A virtuous woman is supportive. Number five, a virtuous woman is confident in the future. Look at verse 25. She shall rejoice in time to come. She is not living for every single moment that's happening now. She knows that what she's doing is investing in a time to come. Now, whether that is in the business this talked about, or whether it's in the providing for her children, or whether it is teaching the character to her children. You know, there are so many times I think about my mom looking back and I'm going, I wonder what my mom would think. You see, when my mom passed away, I was just an accountant. I wasn't in the ministry. I was a child of God. I was trying to be faithful. And I just wonder what she would think. Because she has a part in this. I don't believe you can get to a part in this life without many people playing a role. And my mother played a great role in helping shape who I am. She's confident in the future. She's investing in whatever she does. She knows that God has her in his hand. Number six, a virtuous woman teaches wisdom. Look at verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom and kindness. Now, Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." That's a responsibility on parents and a promise from God. Proverbs 19:27 says, "Cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge." So in order to be a virtuous woman, one who teaches wisdom, not only do you need to invest that wisdom into others, you've got to continue to allow the wisdom of God's word to be put into your life. Virtuous moms don't get to a point and stop. Virtuous moms stay this way because they continue to allow the Lord to work in their lives. Number seven, a virtuous woman watches over the ways of the household. If you come back, look at verse 27. She balances, prioritizes, encourages, gets things done. I look back and you're going, so Your mom worked, yes, and times she took second jobs, yes, and she provided and she taught you, and she also kept the house going. Well, part of keeping the house going in a single parent house is you enslave your kids. To do. We all had things that we had to do, which meant from a very early age, we were taught that we needed to step up, because we sat down and she said, listen, if we're going to make this, we're going to have to do it all together. That's wisdom that she teaches. But that's also her watching over the ways of the household. Watching over the ways of the household, mom, doesn't mean that you do it all and everybody else just sits around and is glad. No, you're seeing to it that it gets done. And one of the reasons that I still do things at home, this is counseling 101 for you all that have been married or going to be married, but counseling 101, I believe home chores, they should be shared. Now, you're going, Jeff, don't start this. But I believe they should be shared because, let me tell you, simple truth. I believe they should be shared, one, because at the end of the day, when everything is done and my wife sits down, at the end of the day, I want her thinking positively about me versus negatively about me. Just simple self-preservation, guys. But she sees to the ways of the household. Number eight, a virtuous woman is worthy of praise. Now remember, we've talked about this woman must not be in great supply because her value is so high. And think about this. She must also be in such, she's not in great supply because her value is so high. And God's word tries to teach us what this woman looks like. She's worthy of praise. Look at verse 28 and 29, talk about her husband and her children praise her. This is not just a Mother's Day need. You know, on Mother's Day, you're going to make calls you might not make normally. You're going to be able to reach out. You're going to be able to share and things like that. You know what's even better? Now, there again, don't miss that call today. Okay, if your mom is away and you got to get to her, make that call, make that visit. Don't miss that. But you know what's even cooler? Do it on like Thursday this week. Praise her because of that day. Praise her because of who she is. Mother's Day, she sees it coming. I've told Angela for years, don't expect flowers on anniversary. Don't expect flowers on Valentine's. You know, guys, that is just so, like, easy. You bring flowers on a Tuesday, you get one of two reactions. Oh, how sweet, or what have you done? She's worthy of praise. We need to appreciate and be thankful for and count our blessings if we have been impacted by a virtuous woman. Number nine, a virtuous woman fears the Lord. Look at verse 30. But a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. We've already established in number eight that she is worthy of praise. And it goes on in verse 30, it's because she fears the Lord. If you're going to be a virtuous woman, ladies, talking to you specifically right now, based upon Scripture, you're going to seek Jesus first. Angela has a chair in our living room. I don't sit in it unless she's not there. Because every time I walk in, it's like I'm in her chair. But let me tell you what's also in her chair, by her table, her Bible. She has a dining room section that's half about studying. She's even got an office set. Honey, we're going to have to get some of these places. You know, I was thinking about that. She's got dining rooms half taken over with studying. Her office is half taken over with studying. And then you got the chair. But she's always seeking Jesus first. Guys, let me tell you what. If you're playing second fiddle to Jesus, count it a blessing. And if you are not playing second fiddle to Jesus, then you need to have a conversation with your wife or your daughters today so that they understand that it's okay to seek Jesus first. Because a virtuous woman fears the Lord, reads God's word, obeys God's word, seeks God first. Virtuous woman, strong sense of character. A virtuous woman works hard. A virtuous woman is generous. Number four, is supportive. Number five, is confident in the future. Number six, a virtuous woman teaches wisdom. Number seven, a virtuous woman watches over the ways of her household. Number eight, a virtuous woman is worthy of praise. Number nine, a virtuous woman fears the Lord. And number 10, a virtuous woman is a testimony to others. Look at verse 31. Let her own works praise her in the gates. You know what that says? Everybody goes, wow, that woman is a Christ follower who works hard, who is well thought of. That woman is awesome. Her testimony is certain and sure. She is a strong witness to other people. Proverbs 11:16 says, a gracious woman retains honor. Now, if you know of a virtuous woman in your life, you are likely amazed by them constantly, how they work, what they do, and how they live. You see, Proverbs 31 is a picture of a wife, a picture of a mother, of a woman of extraordinary skill, great drive, expansive involvement, who is valued by her husband and children and known for her achievements and her stature, a woman free to become all that God has intended for her to be. Proverbs 31 tells us what every Christian woman can become if they fear the Lord and follow Him. Benjamin Franklin said this, living by example was the best sermon. The ways parents act in the home teach their children more about God than what the children hear and learn in Sunday school and in church. A virtuous woman, as this scripture began with, her worth is far above rubies. So as we turn to a time of invitation, everybody can close their Bibles now. But keep listening. We're not done. Perhaps God is reminding you of your mother and your need to remember her, to thank God for her, whether your mother is alive or deceased. Take time today to thank God for your mother. But I also understand, perhaps you did not have a Proverbs 31 mother. I pray today that you will give that to God and that you will allow God to build within you the ability to move forward with forgiveness and understanding. Perhaps you're a young lady who needs today to let God more fully begin to shape you into the woman He desires for you to be. Perhaps, husband, today you need to begin praising your wife, not just today, but every day. Perhaps you and your mother are estranged. You have not seen or heard from her in a while. Perhaps you're just not seeing eye to eye on something right this moment. May God grant you the strength today to reach out, to overcome. And perhaps you're a mother who is struggling to be this virtuous woman that God's scripture speaks about. And God is showing you right now that He wants to make you and can make you the woman that He's created you to be. I pray that maybe you confess those areas to God right now. Church, whatever God lays on your heart, mom or dad, male or female, because of His message today, I pray that you'll allow Him to have His way.